I'm sure that we have all heard the statement that I have on the board here. Everything happens for a reason. And it's interesting how those of the world use that particular phrase, use that statement in connection with things that happen in this life. On the sports field, whenever there's a home run, whenever there is a touchdown, whenever there's not a touchdown, if you're on the defense, a hand will be raised, a finger will point to God, a head will be bowed, and it was God's will. Everything happened for a reason. God was successful in working through that individual in order for those things to happen. I had a man that I sold a vehicle to many years ago. And he came, he said, "I saw the ad in the paper, and it's God that led me here, and I know for sure that there's nothing wrong with this vehicle because everything happens for a reason, and it's God's plan that I'm here to buy the vehicle. And if you knew of anything wrong, you would tell me." And I said, "Yes, I would. I would tell you if I knew of anything that is wrong, but I can't tell you. Or if you drive down this driveway and leave, if you happen to buy it, if something goes wrong, I can't tell you that that's going to happen." But he was sure that God had led him there to buy that vehicle. He did buy it, by the way. Didn't hear back from him, thank goodness. But everything happens for a reason. But we not only see that statement made in connection with that which is good, we also see it made in connection with that which is bad, things that take place in this life. Someone is killed. Someone has come down with a very serious disease. And that is attributed to God. Well, it's God's plan. It's what He had in store for me. Everything happens for a reason, is the statement that is made. I remember back in 2001, whenever the plane struck the towers, that statement was made. Everything happens for a reason. This is God giving a message, sending a message to the United States, and that is the reason that those terrorists slammed those planes into the buildings and also crashed with another outside of Washington, D.C., in Pennsylvania, as they were headed toward Washington, D.C., and then struck the Pentagon. It happened for a reason. God planned all that. As a matter of fact, from the reading that was given to us by Warren, when we look in Amos, the third chapter, and I'm going to read this from verse 6. People will look at this and say, everything happens for a reason, not only that which is good, but also that which is bad. And in the King James Version it says, "Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it?" And I'll turn your attention over also to Isaiah, the 45th chapter. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "I form the light," God speaking here through Isaiah, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." And people will look at this and they will say, there it is. God sends not only that which is good, God sends that which is also evil and bad upon man. And so therefore, everything is already mapped out. Everything is already planned. Everything is done for a reason. And the reason is God, because God is sovereign. And He has control of absolutely everything. We're not here to question the sovereignty of God. But we're here to look in context of the thought of everything happens for a reason, and put it, I believe, in the proper context. And I believe that there is an element in which we can say everything happens for a reason, and that is a correct statement. But not from the standpoint that these make, that say that God causes not only the good, He also causes the evil. I want you to note something with me, and we'll come back to these two passages before we end the lesson in order to get the proper context. But I want you to look back at something that took place that is described to us in Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning in verse 1. Luke, the 13th chapter, in verse 1, the disciples of Jesus tell Him about some that were killed by Pilate, and their blood was mingled in the sacrifices that Pilate was offering. would imagine that would be pagan sacrifices. And Jesus asked the question there. He says, do you believe that these were sinners above all sinners because this came upon them? Verse 3 says, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus then himself brings up another situation that had taken place that evidently he knew about and others knew about also. Whenever the Tower of Siloam fell and 18 were killed in that tragedy, he asked the same question again. Do you suppose that those 18 were sinners above all other sinners because this came upon them? And again then in verse 5 he says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What Jesus did there in Luke the 13th chapter was take events that took place, and he made then from that a spiritual application to them about the proper conduct of life. Whenever you consider that context there in Luke the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 5, you see that sometimes, and I think this is what Jesus would say about this, by the way that he handled this situation, sometimes the fact of the matter is that life just happens. Life happens. And there's good things that come to people, there are evil things that come to people, or bad things that come to people, and life happens. And it's part of the human condition. Think about this also, if you would. Turn to John the 9th chapter. John the 9th chapter, there we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. And this is when Jesus was about to heal the man of his blindness that had been blinded since his birth. He was blind from the womb. And in verse 1 it says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What they are asking or saying in effect to the question that they asked Jesus was, well, we know that everything happens for a reason, so why was this man born blind? Was it his fault that he was born blind? That is, being in the womb, there was something that he did. Or was it his parents' fault that he was born blind and then in the womb was blind? Because evidently their attitude was exactly as what's being expressed today when you hear this thought. Everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. And again, there's a right aspect of that, and I think there's also a wrong aspect of this. But Jesus answers it from the proper context, because in verse 3 he says, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest. Oh, okay. Jesus is saying God made that man blind while he was in the womb so that whenever I came along, I could heal him. No, Jesus is not saying that. What Jesus is saying is that life happens. Life happens. And because of the condition of this individual that is part of the condition of humanity, and this happens from time to time, I will use this situation, Jesus says, to show forth my power. And that's what Jesus is talking about there in John the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Look also, if you would, over in John the 11th chapter and verse 4. And this in connection with the death of Lazarus. We'll talk about his death. Being a friend of Jesus. Verse 4 of John the 11th chapter says, so the sisters sent to him saying, the one you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is the glory of God, so that the sons of God may be glorified through it. And again, there is not a different statement that he made here than what he made in connection with the man that was born blind. Jesus would show through the human condition that exists, life happening. He would show forth his preeminence. He would show forth his deity. He would show forth who he was by taking care of things through the omnipotence that he had, taking care of things that were of the human condition. It had been prophesied. He would heal the lame. He would raise the dead. He would give sight to the blind. He would give speech to the dumb, hearing to the deaf. When we look at this, we understand that certainly in these situations where there is, as in the man that was born blind, there are sometimes outside forces that come into play that can cause a child to be born blind that they did not do nor choose, but the parents did do, which adversely affected them. We understand that. And we can say from that, everything happens for a reason. But what we need not do is make application of that in connection with God caused. God caused. Sometimes life just happens. But also look at this. Over in Acts, the 13th chapter, verse 5 through 11. Acts, the 13th chapter, verse 5 through 11. We have the account of Paul, still known as Saul, until a portion of here in the 13th chapter of Acts, and Barnabas and John Mark at this time that are making the first preaching journey. And they come to the island of Cyprus, they go to Paphos, and there they encounter a man by the name of Sergius Paulus, who is the proconsul or governor of the region, but there's also another man, Bar-Jesus, also called Elymas. And he was wanting to withstand the truth of God being taught to the proconsul. Evidently, just by what I take from that, is that this man had the ear and the trust of the governor and didn't want to share that with anyone. But yet Sergius Paulus was tantalized in the right way by the preaching of the gospel. And whenever Elymas withstood the preaching of the gospel that was done by Saul and Barnabas and John Mark, Paul looked upon him steadfastly and said, "Oh, you son of the devil, how can you withstand the truth that comes from God?" And by those words, God struck that man blind, Elymas blind, for a season so that he had to be led around. When we look at this situation, would we say, well, everything happens for a reason? Absolutely we would. But what reason is connected with the blindness that came upon Elymas? Well, it wasn't just life happening in this situation, but rather there was sin, and it was sin caused that created this condition in this man. It was sin caused. Sometimes sin causes situations. I think that we also see that when we look over in Acts, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 10. And there we have the account of Ananias and Sapphira. And remember, at the end of the 4th chapter of Acts, we have the account of the church there at Jerusalem who were sharing all things in common because of the situation that was there. And remember there at the end of the 4th chapter, it mentions that Barnabas once again. And Barnabas was a very hospitable, giving man. And he had possessions, and he sold all of those possessions, and he gave not a portion, but rather the full amount of the sales, and put it under the authority of the apostles. And that for the care of the saints. We see then in Acts 5th chapter that we have now the account of Ananias and Sapphira. And it is evident as you look at this situation that they wanted to have the same fame and notoriety, even though Barnabas didn't ask for it, as Barnabas had. And I'm sure that the congregation there in Jerusalem, all of them knew and thanked Barnabas profusely for his giving spirit to the congregation. And I would imagine, just looking at this, I think it's intimated within the context when we look here in Acts 5th chapter, that Ananias and Sapphira wanted the same thing. We want that same adulation that Barnabas received. We want that same thing, but they were not willing to sacrifice to the extent that Barnabas had. And so they sold possession also, but kept back a portion of it. But made the claim then, we have sold it for a certain amount and we've given all of it. They lied, as it says, to the Holy Spirit, to God. And because of that, they lost their life. Well, why? Things happen for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. And in connection with sin, that's absolutely the truth. The fact of the matter is that sin will be punished. Let's go back now and look over in Amos, the 3rd chapter. And I don't know what version exactly that Warren was reading from, but it gave the right reading there as we look in verse 6. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil, rather calamity, affliction, or disaster in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? When you look back at verse 1, You understand that the context that is given there is in connection with sin. And what sin always will reap is judgment against it, because God cannot abide sin. And those that practice it will be judged. Galatians 6, chapter verse 7 and 8, Paul makes this statement. He says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that reaps to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, and he that reaps to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting." And when you think about it from the standpoint of everything happens for a reason in connection with sin, and when there is disaster, there's a reason behind it. Because there are those that have disobeyed God. They've disobeyed what he said. Think about that. Also, as we look in the 45th chapter of Isaiah once again, coming down to verse 7. I form the light, God says. I create darkness, I make peace, and create evil. In the ESV and other versions, it says, I create calamity and disaster. From what aspect? From the aspect of, as he is talking about Cyrus, his anointed one that he would send, that would ultimately be responsible for bringing the Jews back to Jerusalem. He would stand before nations, and God would be with them, and the judgment upon nations through Cyrus that would be inflicted upon them would be then not the evil that come from God, but rather judgment against them, so that God's will would be done. And so again, you have here in Isaiah 45, 1 through 7, the same thought. Sin caused. Everything happens for a reason. When there is disaster as far as judgment against God, that being God caused, it's not evil, it is judgment against sin. And we understand that. We understand that when we look back to 1 Samuel 15, chapter, verses 1 through 3. Where King Saul is told to go and to utterly destroy the Amalekites. And God says, and here is the reason why. They withstood my people when they came out of the land of Egypt. You will destroy each and every one of them. You will kill the suckling child. You will kill the man. You will kill the woman. You will kill all their beasts. You will kill everything associated with them. Why? Well, God just loves genocide. Is that right? No. Judgment against the people that withstood him. It was judgment against sin. Even in the situation that we see when we look over in Job, the first chapter and also the second chapter, we see things come upon Job here, not in connection with sin, as a matter of fact, exactly the opposite, but it is Satan caused. The evil that comes upon Job is Satan caused. And not because of sin, but because that's what the Satan does. And in that aspect, life happens to all. He is the roaring lion that walks around seeking whom he may devour. And life happens in that situation, and sometimes we're tested by that. And so we can say everything happens for a reason. And in one aspect, if we take it from the standpoint that God causes good and causes evil, we're not correct. If we take it from the standpoint that there are conditions that exist within the human condition and life happens, that is correct. And also, ultimately, in connection with sin, that there will be judgment against it, that is correct. You know, some things also take place that really don't fall in connection with either one of these two, but fall within a third category. And that third category is the providence of God. So often, as I've discussed with people, they want to talk about miraculous works taking place today. And when we're talking about the providence of God, we're not talking about outward manifestation of supernatural events that took place that could not be denied, because that's what a miracle is. When we look back during the time of Jesus and in the first century, what we read of those that had supernatural gifts from God, those were supernatural events that took place that could not be denied as a supernatural event. There was no other conclusion to come to. This is This is beyond the capability of man. This is beyond the scope of man. This is not just life happening. It may not even be necessarily sin caused. Sometimes in connection with that, but not always. But miracles were that which could not be denied. Providence of God takes on a different aspect. Think about this. When we look back in Esther, the fourth chapter in verse 14. Esther, the fourth chapter in verse 14. Here we have the account of Queen Esther, who was a Jew, did not make known her race, her ethnicity, to her husband, the king. There was an adversary also that did not know that she was a Jew. His name was Haman. He hated the Jews, and especially one Jew above all, he hated Mordecai. And the reason he hated him is that Mordecai would not bow whenever he walked by. And for that one man, Mordecai, Haman goes to the king and asks permission. He says, make it a law because of these no good Jews that are here that might rise up someday and take the kingdom over. Make a law that on a certain day, all of them will be slain throughout the entire country, your entire kingdom. And on hearing that, the king thought about all that Haman said. He said, that sounds good. I'll do that. Mordecai gets in touch with Esther and says, you need to go talk to the king. You need to go talk to the king and get that reversed. And the queen replies back to Mordecai, who is her uncle or kin, at least, and says, you know that anyone walking in unannounced without an appointment to the king is likely to die. The only thing would keep one from dying in that situation is if the king held out his scepter. So she makes excuse for not going. And again, she's not made it known to him that she is a Jew. Notice what is stated by Mordecai in verse 14 of Esther, the fourth chapter. If you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. And even though the word God, the name God, doesn't appear in the book of Esther, I think we understand by what is intimated here in the statement that is being made by Mordecai that he understood the prophecies that had gone on, especially in connection with the lineage of David, and that there not be a man that would fail from the throne connected to David's lineage. He knew something in the future was going to happen, and that would be by God's will. He says, but you and your father's house will perish. If you don't go and get this reversed, you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have come not to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows if this is not, and this is what Mordecai said, who knows if this is not the providence of God that you have become queen at this particular time in order to save your nation? You have the providence of God. Not working in an outward miraculous way, but by means of course, occurrences that would take place in here, especially in connection with that which was governmental in nature. Look over also in Philemon, the 15th verse. Philemon being a runaway Jew, a runaway slave rather, and had been for a period of time with Paul. Paul is sending him back, evidently has the letter in hand as be given to Philemon, Onesimus being rather the slave that had run away. Being returned then to Philemon, having sat under the feet of the teaching of Paul, having become a child of God, having become a Christian, he is sent back. And this is what Paul says concerning that runaway slave, Onesimus. Verse 15, for this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. What Paul is saying is possibly this is the providence of God. Understand, here's a man that could work all miraculous gifts. He was an apostle, but he said this is not an outward miracle that he's coming back to you, but rather this may be, and he's not even pronouncing it absolute, because that's about what that is what the providence of God is. It's not about absolutes that we can determine. Maybe this is the reason that he left in the first place. that you will have him back then forever. And now, not just a slave, but now also a child of God, a brother with you. And so you have the providence of God working. You know, in matters of life, life happens. It happens to the rich, the wicked, and to the poor. And Jesus makes a statement in Matthew the 5th chapter, verse 44, God sends the rain on the just and the unjust alike. So we can't say, even though it might appear sometimes that way, Doyle, when we see the neighbor get rain and we don't get rain, we can't say, well, it looks like the evil got more rain than the righteous this day. As a matter of fact, that reasoning, you might also have to say, well, maybe that man's more righteous than I am. But no, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Listen to the words of the psalmist in connection with the wicked that prosper. When we look over in the 73rd Psalm, and there we're going to look at verses 1 through 12. Psalm 73, verses 1 through 12. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. I want to stop right there and explain to you exactly what the psalmist is saying. I just about lost my faith whenever I witnessed this. I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pains until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily, they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens. Their tongues struts through the earth. Therefore, his people turn back to them and find no fault in them. And they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? He's saying here, the people say, well, surely the righteous are those that are wicked and also rich. Look at all the good that is coming on them. They say life, everything in life happens for a reason. Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. And that was the observation of the psalmist speaking, I think, here in context, as we might view things of the world where we don't have the proper viewpoint that we should as Christians. Because on the other side of that, in connection with life happening, it not only happens which is good for the evil, sometimes it also happens for those that are good, that are righteous. And we see that when we look in connection with Abraham. 12th chapter, verse 5, all the herds and the flocks and all the riches that he had, along with Job also, who was a man that was mighty in riches, and both of them righteous. The proper perspective, I think, is given to us when we look in Ecclesiastes 9, verses 2 and 3. Ecclesiastes 9, verses 2 and 3. Solomon says, it is the same for all. Since the same event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As the good one is, so is the sinner, and he who swears is as he who shuns an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also the hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and madness in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. Therein is everything happening for a reason, that is life happening. Life also comes to an end. It ceases. We understand that there is judgment from God. We see it with Herod, where he spoke before the people in Acts the 12th chapter, verse 20 through 25, and the people listened to his voice and said, it is as the voice of God. And God pronounced judgment upon him. And what happened to him? He was eaten from within by worms and he died. And that happened for a reason. That was judgment against an individual that should have given glory to God and not accepted the worship and the praise of the people that were around him at that time. We understand that things happen for a reason whenever we go against the government, and that is what is spoken of in Romans the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, where Paul says, you do not need to fear him that has the sword if you do the right thing. He's talking there about government. But he does not bear the sword in vain. He's saying, you do evil. Things happen for a reason. Judgment then will come upon you. Isaiah, the 59th chapter, verse 1 and 2. Says there, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. He doesn't listen to your prayers. And that happens for a reason. And the reason is choice is made. And that is the God-given right that man has. We hear much about people saying, I have rights. And when we look at it, and I understand that from a governmental standpoint, in the country that we live, we have certain rights. Unalienable rights, as it is mentioned. Pursuit of happiness and all the other things that are mentioned in connection with that. I understand that. But as far as inherent rights of man, separate and apart from where we live, we have no rights other than one. And that's the right of choice. We have the right of choice that sometimes will affect us to the good and also to the evil. I want you to think about this. Sometimes our choices that we make will end up for good, and other times they will end up for evil. You look back at Genesis, the 4th chapter, verse 6 through 7, where Cain and his sacrifice that was not accepted by God. And this is what God said to him there in Genesis 4, beginning in verse 6. Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shalt thou not be accepted? But if you do not well, sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You have choice, is what God is telling Cain at this time. There's not a reason in the world that you can offer a proper sacrifice. What you chose to offer was not what I commanded, and you offered that which was against my law. But you made choice. You make the right choice, God says, and I will accept it. Sometimes things happen for a reason because of choices, as in here, choices of our own, but sometimes also in connection with choices of others. Think about that from the standpoint when we look in Exodus, the 20th chapter, verses 3 through 6. Exodus 20, verses 3 through 6. I know you recognize this as the Ten Commandments being given. And there in verse 3, it says, You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord, am your God. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those that hate me, but showing steadfast love to the thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. There can be things that take place where we have no control of, but yet we are affected by them. That's in life and also in choices, separate apart from God's law. And what he was telling them is that if you choose to serve idol gods, it's not only going to affect you, but it's also going to affect the generations that come after you because of the evil influence you have upon them and because of the consequences of sin. You'll be affected by them. It would happen for a reason. What we're reading here, of course, took place in the history of Israel over and over again. But we also see sometimes that choices take place by others, also including God, that can have an effect upon us. And we look over in Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 7 and 8, where we've already been before, but we're going to go back there once again. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. And here comes the effect. For he that shall reap to the flesh shall do what he wants, have his own desires, acts upon his own will, shall the flesh reap correction. That is the choice of the flesh. You're going to receive them from God, that which is evil. Judgment against your choice, not to be faithful to him. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There, the choice of God. Not because we have done anything to deserve salvation, to deserve an eternal inheritance in heaven, but rather by the gracious love of God and his choice. Everything happens for a reason. Let me ask you, if you're not a child of God, you've come here today, and you've listened to this lesson, I'm sure you've heard that statement that's been made in the world about everything happens for a reason. I'm sure that you've heard it from the standpoint of that which is wrong, a wrong application of it. I think we have a right application that is given to us in Scripture concerning that particular aspect, but you're here. You're here. Life happens. Sometimes things take place that are bad. Sometimes things that take place that are evil. But know this, that whenever you have commandment from God, and every man does, every man that is accountable, every individual that is accountable for their own actions, has a responsibility and accountability to God to obey him.
Amen.
And your choices today could lead to what takes place in your life happening. Whether it be unto the good or unto the evil, you can this day choose to do the good, that choice, that right that's been given to you by God. Choose to obey God this day through faith with a penitent attitude, naming the name of Christ, being baptized for the remission of your sins, and start that walk. And those that do that, everything happens for a reason. Because it is God's desire to save. We'll be standing in just a moment. We'll be singing an invitation song. You may stay in your place if you're not a child of God and not respond to it. Let me tell you, there's a reason that is happening for that. It's not God caused, because we see in 2 Peter the 3rd chapter and verse 9 that God is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. So if you stay in your place during that invitation song and don't come forward, or if this day or any other day, as soon as possible, don't respond to the teaching of the truth, it happens for a reason. You've made choice to disobey. You've made choice to reject the love of God. You've made choice to reject the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. It's not God directing you. It's your choice. Everything happens for a reason. Let's see what happens as we stand and sing.